Father, we just thank you for this morning. We thank you that you're going to teach us something about your angels that are working for us. And Father, I'm just asking that you open up the spiritual ears and the eyes and their understanding. And Father God, let them receive the word and let it go into their spirit man. And Father God, we cover it with the blood before it's even sent there so that the enemy can't steal it. And Father, we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I've entitled this God of Angel Armies is Fighting for You. Mm-hmm. If you don't know that the God is fighting for you, then you're always going to be defeated. That's a given. And if you don't understand that there's angels on assignment to help you, then you're always going to be defeated also. I was telling somebody just yesterday that what I do now when I pray is, I've been doing this for a while now, is I pray, cover everybody with the blood of Jesus. And then I say the angel that was assigned to them the day they were born, I'm calling you to come and minister to them. And don't let any darkness at all enter their dwelling place. So your angels are supposed to fight for you. And if your loved ones don't know enough to pray, then you need to do that for them. All right? Now, we can walk around fearless because God of Angel Armies is fighting for us. Do you really believe that? I am coming on. Do you really believe that the God of Angel Armies is fighting for us? We should not ever get battle weary, even though we all do at times, right? And we have to grab ourselves by the bootstraps and pull ourselves up, right? Now, Paul Keith Davis says there are two groups of people on the earth, people consumed by darkness and people consumed by light. All right? How many of you are paying attention to really what's going on out there with the people in darkness right now? I mean, I can't believe some of the things that I'm hearing that people are doing, especially the people that are in the addiction field. I mean, that thing is getting scary. About how what they're, now they're, you know, robbing and stealing to supply their habits. And I'm hoping each one of you are praying that God sends an angel to just pull that addiction out of the people. I've been doing that since I've been reading about angels again. I had to get a refresher course. The angels are on assignment, and all we have to do is call on them. And if you have loved ones that are on, you know, on drugs or just friends, you need to call on the angels to go to them, minister to them, and yank the junk out of them. What's his name, that preacher? What's his name? So funny. Jesse Duplantis. Now, he was on drugs. He had his own band, and he was high as a kite. Went to the bathroom, and he was holding a concert. His grandmother kept saying, "You will serve God one day. You will be off of drugs one day." And she kept praying and believing that. And he went in that bathroom to use that bathroom that night and got instantly saved. Then he said he had to go out there and carry on the concert. He said it was a really hard task to do, seeing how he was no longer, he had no desire to do any type of drugs. I mean, they were pulled instantly out of him. And he started serving God. Now, it didn't take his cussing away, according to what he says, because it took a couple years to get rid of cussing, but he was free of the addictions. He said it was the worst thing in the world to go out there to a worldly bunch of people and you know, finish your concert when you yourself were saved. Now, that would be terrible, wouldn't it? You had to go out there and act like the world. But that's what he did. So, you know, what you need to say to God is, if you're no respecter of persons, if you can do this for Jesse Duplantis, you can do this for whoever you're praying for, right? You have to know what's going on in the world. You have to hear the testimonies. That's why testimonies are good when you put them out there. Because, all right, so God did that to them. God can do that to me or whoever I'm praying for. All right? Come on. All right, we are ordained to live in this hour. You were born for this hour. You know, when God called me in the 70s, I said, "God, look at all the time I wasted." He said, "No. You were born for this hour. This is the time I wanted to use you. Your life was not wasted. You were in a learning curve." So each one of you in here today, you've been in a learning curve until God called you for this given hour. All right. Hopefully you learned something in your learning curve that you can now apply to your walk with God. All right, we were ordained to live in this hour. A spirit of illumination will awaken everything in you. Whenever God's spirit quickens your spirit and all of a sudden that light bulb goes on, you're going to be a different person. But it takes that, doesn't it, to make you a different person. It takes that Holy Spirit to turn that light on. You have the anointing to soar as an eagle whose wings have been spread to go above the cares of this world and see things from God's point of view. I mean, I wrote that because God's been telling us for years, I don't want you down here with the chickens. I want you to soar into heaven. He says, isn't that what he's been telling us? Bernard Daniel said, the kingdom of darkness gets its strength from our complaining about what we... I'm sorry. The kingdom of darkness gets its strength from our complaining about what we don't have instead of using what we do have. So true, isn't it? Isn't that what you just worked yourself through? And aren't you sorry you ever had to go work yourself through that mess? God is a safe place to hide, ready to help when we need him. We stand fearless at the cliff edge of doom. You know, it doesn't, you know, seems like your life is just going to end. But we know what God has said, so we hold on to his promises and we make it, right? All right, we stand fearless at the cliff edge of doom, courageous in sea storms and earthquakes, before the rush and roar of oceans, the tremors that shift mountains. In other words, it doesn't matter what's going on in our life, be a tornado, an earthquake, you know, a flood, whatever it is, we can stand firm and secure in the fact that God has us in his hands. He knew he was going to bring all this calamity upon the world, but he's assured us no weapon formed against you shall prosper, and I will keep you. If you're walking close to me, I will keep you. All right, God of angel armies protects us in Psalm 46, 1 through 3. It says, God is our refuge and strength, a tested help in times of trouble. And so we need not fear. We need not fear, even if the world blows up and the mountains crumble into the sea. Let the oceans roar and foam. Let the mountains tremble. And see, that's what I just wrote over here. I mean, that's why I wrote that. You see that? God is our refuge and strength, a tested help in times of trouble. And so we need not fear, even if the world blows up and the mountains crumble into the sea. Let the oceans roar and foam. Let the mountains tremble. The word of God says to be fearless, because, and I can't believe the amount of fear in the body of Christ. God is God. He is awesome, all-powerful, full of mercy, loving, kind, and fiercely protective of his beloved bride. Let me stop there. I was thinking the other day about, you know, how the Christians are being persecuted overseas, are being shot in mass numbers, you know, and they're doing all kind of things to them. And God spoke one time and said that was going to come to America's shores. And I was thinking, why do they get all excited? Don't shoot me, don't shoot me, don't cut my head off. You're going to go to heaven. So why are you fearful? Just shoot me and get it over with so I can get to the Father. You're going to cut my head off, you know, just, and your head's gone. Right? So why do we get all fearful and carry on? You might not want to die, but if God's allowing you to be in that group, then that's your time to die. So say, thank you, Jesus, I'm going to be out of this mess. Just take me on home. Isn't that right? Well, I know it's right. Come on. We have this thing all backwards. I don't know about you, but I'll be glad to get up into heaven, get away from this mess. If you have to wear a mask now so some people can't see your lips, that's going to be a mess. Right? That's what the mayor said. No, who is it? Governor Carney said, starting the 28th, you have to wear a mask when you're out in the public. And on May the 1st, businesses have to supply the mask for their employees because they have to wear a mask now. Let's go on here. I'm going to get off my tangent. All right, demonstrated by our Lord Jesus Christ when he died for us. Let's look at Romans 8:37. Yet in all these things, you know, he was talking about what was going on in life. He said, but yet, and not, Paul said, yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. You don't really believe that, or you wouldn't act like you do. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Paul wrote most of his letters when he was in prison. This was really an encouraging word from a person sitting in prison. Y'all are free. You can't even speak an encouraging word. See what I'm saying? We need to get this thing right here. If God is for us, then who can be against us? Right? But see, you don't believe that because you get all upset. If God is for us, then why you get all upset about a little old demon? Kick him to the curb and go on. I always tell the devil, this is not your vessel. This is a vessel of the Almighty God. And there's not room enough for God and you in here, and you've got to go. You can't come in. You have to go. Find somebody else that wants you, because I don't. Right? But y'all don't do that. Oh, I think I got a demon. Tell that little jerk to leave in Jesus' name. All right, what can man do to you? Can anything, life, death, kings, earthly or spiritual powers, separate you from his great love? That's what we just read there. Perfect love is God's name, and where he is, there is no room for fear. He is the God of angel armies. He is faithful to complete what he has begun in you. See, the problem is you don't believe that God began anything in you. Oh. Because if you really believe he began something in you, you wouldn't be so upset. You would say, thank you, God, that you're completing what you started. Many times I say, God, I think you missed an area in me. Because this isn't quite lining up with the word. All right? I know that he began a good work in me, and I know his word says he's going to finish it. And the devil can't stop him. He really can't. All right, the hosts of heaven are on your side. You know, that's the angels. Do you really believe that? You know, I believe Sister Barbara's been seeing a lot of angel activity, and there's a couple other people have been emailing me. They've been seeing a lot of angel activity. But what are you doing with that? Are you really understanding that those angels are protecting you? Those angels are bringing you messages. All right, if you are struggling with anxiety and fear for your future, your children, the journey you are on, don't get stressed out because God is in charge. He has good plans for you. Will you please believe that this morning? God has good plans for you. The God of angel armies is protecting you, your future, your house, and your children. I don't care what you see your children doing. There's a hedge of protection around them. I hope you've prayed one around about them. And the enemy cannot destroy them. He might take them through the ditch a few times, but he can't destroy them because you are continually keeping them covered. And even when God says, they're in my hands, let them alone, you still with the mother or father instinct go and say, Father. You still have them in your arms? I know you do, but please do the work quickly. Don't let them get killed. Amen. This is a living word for you today. Soak in it and get transformed by it. The God of angel armies is with you and your children. All right? Let the multitude, I'm sorry, let the multi-dimensional glory of God's living word get inside of you and encourage, heal, and touch you today. And that's why I had to sing that last song again, because I knew that you don't believe what you're singing. You do up here, but this up here is messed up. You have to get it down into your spirit, man, and believe it. Faith is a living realm you can step into. It is God's glorious presence bursting with life and activity. That's what faith is all about. Just think about the throne John saw in heaven. The rainbow of God's presence surrounds the highest seat of authority, and everything that God says or does is bound by his covenant promise and blessing. Everything that God says or does is bound by his covenant promise and blessing. You know, I think the problem with the body of Christ, I know the problem with the body of Christ is that it's not broke, the word is not broke down where they can understand it. You know, ministers want to be intellectual, and they want to be seated above the people. And so they speak from that realm, and the people don't understand what they're saying. Jesus didn't do that, did he? He spoke very plainly to the people. And this is where the body of Christ fails. We need to start teaching the people very plainly. You know, these and thous and everything else that I've heard people say. I said, God, why do they do that? He says, a religious spirit from hell. And they need to get rid of it if they're going to do any works for me. So get off your little prideful glory train you're on and get down where the people are at. Get where they can understand things and work from that realm. All right? You're supposed to be like Jesus. And some of the words God gives, I think, well, that's getting down to their nitty-gritty level, right? They can understand it. He's not doing all those big words that you can't understand. He's just telling you right in plain old English what's going on. And that's good, because then you don't have to get a dictionary and decipher everything, right? Miracles of healing and deliverance are among the primary manifestation of God's kingdom on earth. Miracles of healing and deliverance are among the primary manifestation of God's kingdom on earth. His angels are on the move. His angels are on the move. They really are. And this is why, you know, I wanted to teach this, because we need to understand that the angels are there just waiting for us to tell them what to do. I've been telling the angels what to do now for 2 months. I said, okay, I don't want you folding your arms, and I want you to get busy and do something, because they say that they're standing around waiting for us to call upon them to help them. All right? Angels are sent to assist in that great work by carrying the glory from the throne into our circumstances. And, you know, when I wrote this, I thought about, you know, in the house, whenever I saw the, you know, the stair steps going up and down, you know, that was the angels going to heaven and getting the miracles we needed in the services and bringing the miracles back down. Now, if we don't have that, and see, and I'm a little bit upset, because I think I saw the stair steps here. Well, I know I did years ago, but are they still here? Are the angels still going back and forth bringing the miracles that we need? Or have we cut off that communication? See, that's what I have before God right now. If you would be less concerned about your little troubles and be concentrate on the things of God, you'd be surprised how your troubles will be nothing, because you're learning about things in heaven. Francis Frangipane, he's a great prophet. He came on the scene in 1970. Seems like a lot of us did at that given time. But he sent out an article. He's talking about the apostasy. Now, he's explaining it in a different way. It still means a falling away, but all of the great apostasy is where all godliness is going to be put to the wayside, and sin is going to be brought in, and it's coming against the government. I'm going to have Chris send that to you, because it's really very interesting, and he explains that quite well. And so, see, we've all these years just thought it was the great falling away of the church, but it's also a falling away of a lot of other things. All right. All right, so angels are sent to assist in that great work by carrying the glory from the throne into our circumstances. And as you read, this is what I wanted to get at there by saying that, as he's reading the word, or as we read the word, the angels bring the secrets of that word down to the person reading that word. And the glory of God is on that, and you feel the anointing as you study it. You understand that? you know, Brother Allen has a deep reservoir of very vital information that the world knows, but he keeps it hidden down in that reservoir. And we finally put one of the things out he sent to me. And as I was reading it, I thought, you know, the world needs to hear what he has. But for some reason or other, he doesn't want to share it. But we're going to get him out of that reservoir. And he's going to pour it out there for the, so the people can see it. All right. So I said, angels are sent to assist in that great work by carrying the glory from the throne into our circumstances. Number one, they show up in battles and destroy God's enemies. Number two, they appear in the desert and minister food and strength to God's servants. Number three, they carry messages of God, of good news and great joy to all who look toward God's appearing. Four, they say the word, and out of barren wombs, life is birthed. They are the glorious supernatural army of the God of angel armies. This is just stuff gathered from the word. And number five, and in these last days, as angels are on the move to do glorious things. It doesn't matter what you have need of. If you will take it to the Father and trust him and believe him, he's going to speak to an angel, and that angel's going to bring that to you. I read people's testimonies, and there's so many testimonies out there of encouragement that you really need to read and see the things that God has done for different people. And if God does that for them, he's going to do the very same thing for you. All right? Remember the story about the movie star person who she got saved and he didn't, and he left her, and the people told her she didn't want a divorce, and so the people told her, well, if you really want him back, then act like he's back. And so she, every meal she would set him a plate at the table, and she'd sit down and talk to him, and he wasn't there. He was married to another woman. And 3 years later, he come crying and knocking the door, crying and begging for her to take him back. And he got radically saved, and they're married today. But see, she believed what they told her, and she kept sending the angel out to minister to him and to change his heart. See that? If we would quit fighting with our spouses and ask the angels to go and minister to them, and you just keep your cool, keep trusting God, that angel is going to minister that person and change their heart. How many of you know you've tried talking your people to death? And it doesn't work, does it? So your next step now is, since you've tried your way, is to send the angel to them to minister to them, because that angel knows exactly what's in their mind. That angel knows exactly what it's going to take to get them set free. Are you understanding this? You will save yourself a whole lot of work if you would just put the angels on assignment. Angels respond to the anointing. When the anointing of the Holy Spirit is on a particular word of healing or other miracle, there will be a release of angelic activity that brings sudden breakthrough. Angels are God's messengers and are moved by his word. And Psalm 103, verse 20 said, bless the Lord, you mighty angels of his who carry out his orders, listening for each of his commands. Yes, bless the Lord, you armies of his angels who serve him constantly. Time and again, we have witnessed this when families and individuals stand their ground believing God for a miracle. Angelic activity is entwined with the prayers of God's people. To put another way, praying people will have angelic activity in the events of their lives. You hearing this? The elderly priest Zacharias was offering incense on the altar of prayer when he was startled by an angel's sudden appearance. In Luke 1:13, do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your prayer is heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. Zacharias was so old that all hope of answer to his prayers to have a child of his own had passed many years before. But God had not forgotten. He sent his angel Gabriel to announce this to the priest. The announcement of the word loosed the miracle of its fulfillment. See that? an angel actually appeared to him and talked to him. So instead of having God speak to us, why don't we say, God, I'd like to have you send a message to me through one of your angels. You know, as I was reading that, it came to me about in the 70s, a lot of the prophets, a lot of the evangelists actually had angels come into their rooms, sit in their rocking chairs on their beds or on a chair, and sat there with a message from God telling them exactly what to preach about, exactly where to go to minister and everything else. An angel, and that's in the 70s, the angel actually came into the rooms and talked to them and told them what to do. And every place they ministered, there was miracles. So now God wants the angels to be on assignment again. He wants us to start believing for angelic activity, and he wants us to start calling on the angels to come and help us with the things, the tasks that we need done. God said he wants us to enter into a place of rest, and he said, I'll fight your battles for you. So how is he going to fight those battles for us? Through angelic hosts. Angels protect. Sometimes when we are in a battle, the anointed word of the Lord will loose angels and secure the victory as we speak. Other times the word becomes the target for our consistent prayers. Number three, the enemy will try to discourage and oppose us in the very place that the Lord has given us direction. Number four, but persistent, consistent, faith-filled prayer will prevail and loose the miracle for your deliverance. Persistent, consistent, faith-filled prayer will prevail and loose the miracle for your deliverance. His word will not return void. That's why a lot of pastors are telling you to pray the word. His angels are instruments of power to fulfill his word. And number seven, Psalm 91, verse 11, for he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. In number eight, in the midst of a crisis, when it looks as if the enemy of our soul has overwhelmed us, holding on to God's truth will release these powerful angels into our situations. I've had a few things come up this week, and I said, God, send the angels on assignment to take care of these situations because I can't. I immediately felt peace. I immediately felt a release. I knew that those situations were being taken care of. Do you have children that are out there doing their thing, you know? Then you need to send the angels every day to protect them from all harm. You don't want them shot. You don't want them overdosing. You don't want them raped or anything like that. So you send an angel to protect them so that they don't get harmed. Because you can't be there. And if you were, you can't stop it. If your children are messed up, you need to pray that an angel goes and ministers to them and changes their heart. I've been doing that, and I've been seeing changes in my children's hearts. They're not acting like they used to act. I couldn't change them, but an angel of God can go with the anointing, the glory of God, and minister to them. Who was it that his daughter was really bad? Her name was Sona. Yeah. But anyhow, you know, he couldn't get her saved for nothing, and he was well-to-do and everything. He got saved. And so, you know, and she just was really rebellious. She wanted to embarrass him because he was a preacher. And so he kept trusting and believing God to get her saved. And one day she comes screaming down the hallway at night. And she said, this big angel come into her room. Scared her so bad she got saved. And now she's out there preaching the word. The man has died. But now she's preaching the word. But see, he couldn't do anything with her. She was a mess. And he was so well-to-do, he had a Mercedes for every day of the week. A different one. But anyhow, and you know, she used his credit cards and everything else to do her little thing. And she saved him preaching the gospel today because he just said, God, you sent an angel to her. And that angel went and scared her. I do that all the time. I said, God, go into the room right now, but send a big angel there and scare him half to death. get their attention, you know? All right, angels are always connected to God's presence. Number one, angels are not to be worshipped. Number two, they are servants of the Most High God. Number three, they are always connected to His presence and His will in any situation. They are always connected to His presence and His will in any situation. Number four, when Joshua saw the angel of the Lord on the plain before Jericho, he asked, "Are you for us or against us?" Remember that story? Number five, the glorious one said, "No, but as commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come." As a commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come. Angels, number six, angels are under, I'm sorry, you can find that in Joshua 5, 13 through 15. Number six, angels are under the command of the God of Israel, and they are present where He is. And number seven, if you want to experience more of God's angelic intervention, become a person who seeks His presence. If you're not seeking God's presence and you have your little pride out there doing your own thing, wanting God to build your kingdom, you're never going to see the presence of angels. You have to become humble before the Father. All right, number eight, as Moses said in Exodus 33, if your presence will not go with us, I will not go. Every service, I say, God, I want your presence in this church. Because if you're not there, nothing is going to transpire. See that? Everywhere you are, you need to have God's presence. Number nine, angels are powerful. Angels are wonderful messengers of God, but our focus is His presence. In other words, God's presence. Number 10, faith will bring you into His presence. This morning, if you can really believe in these angels that we're talking about, that your faith can bring those angels on the scene. Number 11, His presence will bring you into His promise, and His host of angels will be right there to bring His promises to pass. How many of you know that people have prayed they needed money, you know, God's children who really believe God and living for God, they need money, and God will speak to an angel to send to a person to tell them they need to write a check and send it to that person. This is the kind of God that I serve. I don't know what kind of God you serve. I hope we all serve the same God, but I believe in His angels, always have and always will, and I've always used angels, but I quit there for a while, and then God had to prompt me to start using them again, and so I started using them again, and I'm feeling a peace. I'm not all troubled, concerned about people and things I'm praying about, you know, about the church and about my family. I don't have that anymore because I've released the angels to go and minister to them, to the situation, and God's fighting my battles for me. How about you all? Need to start doing that. Some of you don't even know where your children are at, but God does. And He can send an angel to that child and minister to that child. All right, face to face with an angel, the more congruent you become with His word, the more you will invite the presence and intervention of angels. A pastor said this about an angel. When an angel burst in on me a few years ago, he was full of vim and vigor and the exaltation of victory. His armor was smoking from battle, and I could tell he had just popped in before heading to another battle. He looked at me with a huge grin on his face and asked, "How big is your chair?" Now, how wonderful would it be if you were sitting in your home and all of a sudden here come an angel and said, "Hi, can I have a seat for a second?" Wouldn't that be awesome? I have seen angels, but I've never had them talk to me. I want so bad for one to come and sit down and talk to me. I really do. Seeing them is wonderful. Knowing them there is wonderful. I've bumped into angels a couple times, but I've never had one say, "Can I sit down? How big is your chair?" God is enthroned on our praises. The more we stay in a place of praise, worship, thanksgiving, the more we will come into harmony with the atmosphere of complete peace, joy, love, and victory on His throne. The more we stay in a place of praise, worship, and thanksgiving, the more we will come into harmony with the atmosphere of complete peace, joy, love, and victory of His throne. We become a carrier of His presence where angels move and dwell. No matter what our circumstances, we can fill our atmosphere of His glory and power by making His chair big in our hearts. Paul knew this secret. While a prisoner in the hold of a ship for his final missionary journey, his heart was at rest in assurance of God's promise to keep his appointment in Rome, no matter unfavorable circumstances. In other words, Paul knew this was going to be his final trip. He knew he was going to die, but he was at perfect peace about the whole thing. When the ship was in grave danger of destruction in the storm, Paul got in the glory. He was fearless in faith, and God sent an angel with strategic direction and gave Paul the life of every man on board. And that's in Acts 27:23. Paul says, "For there stood by me this night an angel of the God to whom I belong and whom I serve, saying, 'Do not be afraid, Paul. You must be brought before Caesar, and indeed God has granted you all those who sail with you.' And where the servant of the Lord is, the word of the Lord is, the angel of the Lord is, and not one life will be lost." Paul said, an angel came and stood beside him and said, why do we not have that experience today? I want us each to really think about this. Why do we not have this same experience? You can read the word through and you can always see where angels came on the scene. I remember my next door neighbor lady, she was in an accident up in Wilmington. Her leg was totally crushed and she was pinned in the car. And a lady came and held her head and told her everything was going to be okay. And the lady stayed there with her until the ambulance came. And when the ambulance came, they made the lady move so they could get to the woman that was hurt. And the woman that was hurt, then when she got in the ambulance, she said, would you please let me thank that lady who was there? And they said there was no lady there. And so she knows it was, the lady told her, your knee is going to be just fine. They're going to tell you that you're never going to use this knee leg again, but your knee is going to be just fine. A week after she got out of the hospital, she was running up and down her lane, you know, exercising. And her knee has always been perfect to this day. That was an angel. And the angel was bringing her a message from God. They're going to say, you're never going to walk on this leg again. But God is telling you, yes, you will. We could go on and on with stories where people have really had angels come to them. I used to pick up hitchhikers all the time. When I left the church one night, this man was on the road up here. It was a young man. I picked him up. And he talked to me and he says, he just had me take my little short way up the road. He said, you can stop here and leave me out. I said, well, there's nothing here. He said, but I want to get out. This is where I want to get out. And he opened the door and he said, I have a message for you. Do not pick up any more hitchhikers. And he left. I haven't picked up one since, but that was an angel from God. He just said, I have a message for you. Oh, okay, so an angel did come, didn't he? Duh. But see how God works? Because God knew the next person I picked up was going to hurt me. Because I was always picking up hitchhikers. And so he sent that angel. Isn't that dumb? That just dawned on me. Where am I at? All right, where the servant of the Lord is, the word of the Lord is, the angel of the Lord is, and not one life will be lost. That's you right where you're at today. Where the servant of the Lord is, are you a servant of God? Then the word of the Lord is with you. And then the angel of the Lord is there also, and not one life that you put in God's hand is going to be lost. All right. You are anointed. You have to get that through this little pea brain. Let it go down into your heart. You are anointed. And it's the enemy that keeps telling you you're not anointed. It's the enemy that keeps telling you you have no power and no authority. It's the enemy that keeps telling you that your children are lost and undone and there's no way to get them saved. Now, tap into the glory of His presence for your family, your finances, your inheritance, in your nation. I want you to tap into that this morning. Let faith come where there has been fear. Let hope replace despair. Steep yourself in the promise God has for you today. I just wanted to talk about my deck, all right? For 3 years, my steps have been messed up. And I've been looking and looking and looking for somebody to fix my deck. I've called people. I've had different people come give me quotes and everything else. And so finally I said, you know what, God? And everything's turned out bad. I said, you know what, God? You fix it. I'm not going to think about it ever again. I'm going to go up and down the side of them steps, and I'm not going to fall through the steps. You fix it. And so my daughter said to me Friday, oh, by the way, Mom, Saturday I'm going to fix your steps. I've been trying to get her to fix it for 3 years. And she said, I'm not only going to fix it, I've been given the lumber, and it's the best lumber you can buy. So you see, when I took my eyes off my steps and put my eyes on God, said, it's your steps, you fix it. He fixed it. But it took me 3 years to get my eyes off the steps and give them to God. So what is it you're struggling with? Get your eyes off that situation, give it to God, and you move on and do God's work. All right? The God of angel armies is for you. That's God, remember? And He is loosing angels to carry the vibrations of His glory into your situation. God wants to send an angel full of God's glory to you to take care of your situation. You need to understand this morning that help is on the way. If you believe, you have to believe that help is on the way. Do you really believe that this morning? Tonight we're going to learn more about angels, but this morning I was excited when God told me to teach on this last night, and I got it together, and because, you know, I think it was the Holy Spirit that prompted me a couple months ago to start calling on the angels again, and I have, and it is working. So if it's going to work for me, it's going to work for you. Any born-again child of God can call the angels of God, and they will work for you. Do not think, oh, well, they just work for her. No, or they just work for him. No, they work for everybody. They can have enough faith to believe that they're, and they are, they're in this room right now. They're in this room. Many people come in here and say, I've seen angels walk around this room. They've seen angels up here behind me while I was teaching. You know, they're in this room. And it's a couple of times when I've stepped down off the pulpit, and when the anointing hits me real hard, I have bumped into one. And seeing the glory of God was on that angel, and so the glory of God hit me. It's so simple to walk with God and to allow Him and His kingdom to do our battles for us. We're the ones that make it difficult. And sometimes we want to get the glory, and that's why we don't call on God and His angels, because we want to get the glory. I'm sorry, you're not going to get the glory for anything. God is God and will always be God. And He is in control of this world, whether you believe it or not, you know, whether the world believes or not, He is in control of this world. And He is in control of this virus now. He's put His hand into it, and we're going to see some miracles happen here shortly. And I just want you to stop discussing the things of God and start trusting the things of God. That's what I'm hearing God say. You talk about Him, but you don't trust Him, and you don't use what you're talking about. You write books about Him, but you never really apply it to your life the way you should, the way you ought. I'm reading a book about angels right now, and it's written by he was an atheist, and he got saved. And his insight in angels is awesome. I've noticed one thing. An atheist, once they get saved, or a person who was demon, you know, sold out to the devil by their parents, and they get saved, they are on fire for God. They are radical for God. And God shows them mighty things. Now, you don't have to be one of them to be shown wonderful things or get radical with God. You can just be you and allow God to have, trust God, have faith in Him, and just totally, completely believe everything that's in His word, please. Because it is yes and amen. And God's saying right now, if you can believe, He's going to release a special anointing right here, right now. upon you to really have faith to believe and then to see. So right now he's releasing a special anointing that you'll be able to see these angelic beings. And God said, not only see, but have them conquer some of your mountains that you've been trying to remove and can't.